So I am doubly blessed to be here this morning. I just want to share with you something that I believe God has brought to my attention. And when God brings something to our attention, it's because of a need that we have in our own lives. But so often it also is a need that others might sense as well. So he expects us to share that. Is that right? I don't know how many of you have spent much time in the book of Habakkuk. It's probably not your favorite book. I won't say that it's mine. Actually, James is one of my favorite books, so I enjoyed the Sabbath school lesson study this morning immensely with Darlene Eklund. Thank you, Darlene. But this book of Habakkuk, I didn't stumble onto it. The Lord led me to it in answer to questions that I have. Because as we read in Habakkuk, it starts out in chapter 1, verse 2, a prophet that has a question. Often we have questions, don't we? We don't understand what's going on in our lives. Sometimes we find that although we think we trust God, we just don't understand why he allows certain things to happen to us. And we think sometimes, perhaps, maybe he's not paying attention. Maybe he doesn't know what I'm going through right now. Well, Habakkuk sort of expressed that. He said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear?" Now, he knew better, didn't he? But we all know better. We know that God always listens to our prayers. He listens and he answers, but not always in the way or at the time that we would want him to answer. Habakkuk was living during the darkest period of Israel's history to that point. He had repeatedly brought messages of repentance to them, but they stubbornly refused to change their ways. To make it even worse, many of God's people were making it very difficult for those who were remaining true and faithful to God. They were even persecuting their own people. And Habakkuk was quite discouraged. He knew how stubborn his countrymen were, and he asked God, "God, are you not paying any attention to what's going on down here?" You know, sometimes I think we wonder, don't we? Does God still going to be patient with this world as bad as it's gotten? But God answers Habakkuk, because God always answers. Sometimes through his word, sometimes through thoughts he puts to our mind, sometimes through someone else. And he said, "Look among the nations and watch and be utterly astounded." In today's language, I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind. "I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you." Habakkuk, you just wait. You're going to see that I am watching, I'm listening, and I'm planning to do something about it. Well, Habakkuk was well enough acquainted with God that he didn't hesitate to ask some of these hard questions. Do you do that? You know, God can handle it. It's not a problem for him if you get angry even, because he knows that we are very limited in our understanding of his plans, except what he's revealed to us in his word. But we can be very thankful that he has given us all the information that we really need to know to be ready for his second coming. And that's the most important thing, isn't it? I'm going to share with you just a little bit about my own search for faith. All of us know people that we see as strong people of faith. We admire them because they seem to have such trust. My mother was one of those. I had to wonder, how is it that she just doesn't get discouraged Her husband, my father, left when I was 8 years old. My sister was only 2 weeks old. And at the time, we weren't going to church. My mother had been raised in a Seventh-day Adventist Christian home. But at the age of 14, she had to leave home after her father died. And her mother was unable to care for the children. She had a hard life growing up, lived with relatives that treated her very unkindly. And then she moved to California from North Dakota, riding in the back of a pickup truck for all the way at the age of 17 from North Dakota to California. And after she got there, she got a job. Life was good. She became better acquainted with a young man that she'd known in North Dakota and married. And just 6 weeks later, he was murdered. Life turned pretty sour. And then several years later, she met my father, and life seemed to take another upturn and then back down when she found out that he wasn't faithful. And he would be home for a few weeks and then be gone and maybe not show up for several months. She was patient. But one day, on Christmas Eve of 1947, he walked away, never to return. And then she found out that she had multiple sclerosis with two young children to care for, with no income, no husband. It was then that somebody came from the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Burlingame, California, and said, "Would you like to go to church?" How they knew, I have no idea. But they began to bring some food, some clothing, and take us to church. By this time, I was 11 years old, and we took Bible studies and got to know this God that was watching all the time and taking care of our needs. She was healed of that multiple sclerosis, for which I am forever grateful, because she lived long enough to raise my sister and I in a Christian home. And God is good. But as I watched my mother go through these trials as I was growing up and then into my adult years, I thought, "Lord, I want that kind of faith, but I'm not sure that I have that kind of faith. Please give me more faith." I had finally decided that I was just going to make an intense study into this subject and find out, how do you get more faith? I read all the scriptures about faith, and there's a lot of them. In fact, a whole chapter of Hebrews is dedicated to that subject of faith. And I read in Romans 12:3 that God has given to every man a measure of faith. And I sure was sure that included women as well. And I'm visual, so I pictured myself and everyone else with their hands up like this. And God with one of those scoops, you know, ladies, that we use to pour out flour and sugar, and pouring out a measure of faith. And then I wondered, well, does God give more faith to some and less faith to others? Or what is this about? And I finally, after 3 months of study, I said, "You know, I've read everything I can find on faith, but I still don't know how much I have. I don't know how much I can trust you with." I didn't have long to find out. Within 3 months, my mother had a diagnosis of terminal cancer. And when that happened, of course, it really rocked my life. Our mothers are precious to us. And that diagnosis was very difficult to take. But I found through that experience that God was faithful. He promised to bring us comfort and strength to get through whatever he allowed us to go through. And he was faithful. Fast forward, 1977, my mother passed away. I can look forward now with rejoicing to the day that I'll be with her for eternity, not just with this life. What a blessing to have that hope because of her faith in Jesus. And I pray that she passed some of that on to my sister and I believe she did. Because she never wavered. February 9, 2011. By this time, I was a widow. My children were grown. And I still wasn't sure that I understood this faith thing that I really had some questions about. I was reading during my breakfast time, which I normally do, in a devotional called From the Heart. The chapter was Faith is the Victory. I read something that absolutely got me excited. Sitting there by myself, I am saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, because I got an answer to my question about faith. It said, we may be shut in by the promises of God, which will be as a wall of fire about us. Ooh, picture that. The promises of God being as a wall of fire about us. Think about how protected we will be from those fiery darts of the wicked with that fiery wall about us. And then there's this statement that I thought maybe somebody had been listening to my thoughts. It said, we want to know how to exercise faith. Faith is the gift of God, but the power to exercise it is ours. I don't know how many of you enjoy exercise. Probably most of you don't enjoy it as much as my son-in-law. Glenn has really worked trying to get me out doing more exercise, and he's partially succeeded. I'm still not going to climb those stairs, Glenn. I'm sorry. But exercise. We all know what happens when we're sick for a few days. We're down. We can't get the exercise. We get weak, don't we? Darlene mentioned that today about how weak she's still feeling. Faith also needs exercise. So how do we exercise that faith? It says, if it lies dormant, it's of no advantage to us, but in exercise, it holds all its blessings in its grasp. Well, in Malachi 3:10, I thought about this. It says that we should test God, or try Him, or prove Him. And this has to do with a giving of our offerings and returning our tithe. He says that He will pour out a blessing upon us if we're faithful in returning our tithes and offerings, that there won't even be room enough for us to receive it. Have you experienced that yet? I have. God is so good. He's so faithful. Have you started counting your blessings? Good place to start is when you open your eyes in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for another day of life. Because we can't take that for granted, can we? Faith is the hand which the soul takes hold of the strength of the infinite. Imagine that. Jesus said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. The weakness is mine, the strength is His. But by faith, as I reach up and grab hold of that hand, His strength becomes mine. And then here was the clue as to how to exercise my faith. Faith plants itself on the promises of God and claims them as surely that He will do just as He said He would. Is that hard to do sometimes? Yeah, when things don't look good, when things aren't going so well, it's hard to do that. But we need to keep exercising that faith. This Word of God is one treasure chest of promises. Have you been looking for those? Search God's word every day. It's full of promises. And if we plant our faith on those promises and claim them as ours, just as surely will he do exactly what he said he would do. So what is faith? We all could probably quote this definition. It's the substance of things hoped for, the what? The evidence of things not seen. When I put my trust in God, what he promises, I have something of substance to hold on to. And that's those promises. It's trusting God, believing that he loves us and he knows what's best for us. So instead of our own way, we choose his way. Instead of our ignorance, we accept his wisdom. In place of our weakness, we accept his strength. In place of our sinfulness, he gives us his righteousness. Our lives, ourselves, are already his. Faith acknowledges his ownership and accepts his blessing. So how do we exercise that faith? We're told that we need to make this really plain. I'm making it as plain as I know how to make it today. We exercise it by doing what? Planting it on the promises of God. Accepting them as our very own. Faith that enables us to receive God's gift is itself a gift. But it grows as it is exercised in appropriating the Word of God. So in order to strengthen faith, we must often bring it into contact with the Word. So spending time every day in God's Word will bring us into closeness with him. And the more we get to know him, the more we are going to trust him. Some of you here are old enough to remember Glenn Kuhn. If not, maybe you've seen his little book, The ABCs of Prayer. There was a quotation. I was just a young married woman when I first heard Glenn Kuhn, and he used to say this very often, and you'll remember it. If you see an acorn, it will remind you, just as surely as the oak is in the acorn, so surely is the gift in the promise. Don't ever look at an acorn again without recognizing inside that little acorn is an oak tree. But it has to be planted in the ground, watered and nurtured to become what we see outside and appreciate so much. God designs that we shall all believe, not because there's no opportunity or possibility of doubt, but because there is so much evidence for belief. God gives us so much evidence in his word, in nature, in our relationships. Seeing these pictures this morning of this precious little one, what a blessing. Can you look at a baby, a little one, and not be thinking about that wonderful creation that God has made? What a blessing. It's all around us. It's everywhere. You know, the Apostle Paul quoted from Habakkuk twice. And whenever God repeats something three times, that means pay attention, this is important. In Hebrews 10, verses 35 to 38, he said, therefore, because of this, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. And we talked about this morning in our Bible study, didn't we? The importance of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and this is what it was talking about, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And then the verse that was read, these two verses this morning that were read for our scripture reading from Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For if in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, as we read in God's word, we may not always understand how this applies to us today. But without a doubt, I believe that this is very applicable to our lives today. We already sense that things are going downhill fast in our world. What kind of faith is it going to take for us to get through the times that are ahead of us? In Revelation 14:12, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. What kind of faith did Jesus have? The most incredible faith that we can imagine. Why? Because he knew who his Father was. And he kept in constant contact with him. He was willing to go to the cross. Did his faith waver? I don't think so. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was pleading if there was any other way. It wasn't that he didn't trust his Father. He didn't trust his own humanness at that point. I think he was concerned, Father, what if I fail? What if in my humanness I fail? The world will be lost. But he was willing to give up everything, even his own eternal life, for us. That's the kind of faith I want. I pray for a faith experience like Habakkuk's. In the third chapter of Habakkuk, the very last verses, we find out that this discouraged prophet still has faith. And this is one of the most beautiful passages in all the Bible of faith. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet. That's the kind of faith I want to have today and every day until Jesus comes. How about you? Debbie shared a little poem with me as we were visiting yesterday. And I just would like to share it with you as we end our service today. It's called Trust Him. We don't even know who wrote this little poem, but I was blessed by it, and hopefully you will be too. Trust Him when dark doubts assail you. Trust Him when your strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him. He is ever faithful. Trust Him, for His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place for rest. Trust Him when through doubts and sunshine all your cares upon Him cast, till the term of life is over and the trusting days are past. We will end our service this morning by singing page 524, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Page 524. Would you please stand?